Makeshift Stories presents Somewhere, Sometime, an irregular series of short bedtime tales and modern fables.
So close your eyes and open your imagination as we present episode 24. Somewhere and sometime, there might have been a shimmering field of green. Abio's father pushed her unceremoniously out of the portal to play in the hot orange sunlight of the early afternoon. It was midsummer on Mirinda. Its sun hung lazily in the clear emerald sky as if waiting for something to happen. Abio thought that Shara looked as bored as she felt. It would be another 6 months before Mirinda retreated along its elliptical path away from Shara, and the weather cooled down enough for school to start again. Time seemed to stand still after Abio's friends had gone to Ymir for the summer season. She had been forced to stay behind with her father, which she had protested so loudly about that he jokingly claimed that she had made their neighbors leave earlier than usual. But Abio knew better. She had overheard him talking to a fellow helio-astronomer about how the new mysterious sunspots had unexpectedly heated Mirinda's atmosphere, and that was the real reason the staff had left the station 3 weeks sooner than planned. Her father was concerned about the storms. They had made him unusually distracted and irritable, to the point that he had kicked her off her games on the shelter's net terminal so he could concentrate. Now, Abiel found herself unfairly exiled to the empty park that surrounded their house. "Use your imagination," he had growled as a portal irised shut with a hiss. A light breeze tickled the tiny heart-shaped leathery blue leaves that carpeted the ground and crowded up to the base of their adobe shelter. Abio sighed. She knew exactly how each leaf would twist and dance. She'd counted them all, twice, maybe more. But the tough tiny plants didn't make good friends. She even knew where all the double hearts were, and had made a wish, as was the custom, the same wish, every time she passed one. She was more than bored, and time had seemed to slow down, so dinner now felt like it was a week away, and tomorrow a month. Giving up, Abio dropped down on the unsuspecting plants, rolled up into a ball, and cried. Immediately the orange heat swaddled around her, and soon she fell into a deep sleep. An odd, fly-like bug hovered curiously just a hair's breadth from Abio's ear, buzzing in an irritating tone. She twitched, instinctively brushing it away, but when it doggedly returned, she rolled over and stared. Instead of fleeing, the little indigo eight-winged insect just hung in the syrupy air and glared defiantly back, its transparent wings creating a miniature breeze that tickled the skin of Abio's sunburnt nose. Abio yawned.
"I've never seen one like you before. Little bug, are you here to play, or just to annoy me?"
She gently blew the thing away. Undaunted, it darted back.
"Excuse me, am I sitting on your nest or something?"
Abio stood up, carefully moving on to the hot ceramic path leading away from the shelter to the deserted street that linked the scattered buildings of the observatory. The bug followed, buzzing annoyingly. She shooted away again, but it dodged her hand as easily as if she was moving in slow motion. Then, it mischievously circled around behind and landed on her head. She swatted as fast as she could, only managing to bang her ear in the process, making it ring. The bug playfully bobbed just out of reach, baiting Abio. Fed up, she charged it, only to find that the creature managed to flit just out of reach. She charged again, and again, and again. Each time it moved, luring Abio into the park and behind a tall stand of cactus that were flowering in the midsummer heat. The insect disappeared into the prickly grove, where even the agitated Abio was too cautious to venture. She gave up and was about to go back when a faint shimmer in the air caught her attention. Across the field on a little rise, the air was acting strange. At first, Abiel thought it was just heat waves from the sun-baked ground, boiling up in little drafts. She had seen that wavering horizon before, but this was different. The air seemed to be curving around and caressing an invisible presence that was pushing its way into being. The disturbance's edge fluctuated, then settled down into a hazy curtain of bubbling air. Intrigued, Abiel forgot about the bug and determinedly crossed the field, walking right through the mirage. A shroud of musty damp air instantly blurred her vision. Then she was through, and the empty park greeted her again. Disappointment welled up, distracting Abiel. At first, she didn't notice the changes. A carpet of little green spikes had replaced the leafy ground cover. The sky was almost blue, and the air was cooler and crisp.
Hello?
A pleasant voice floated over.
It's about time you arrived. You know, I've been trying to get that darn bug to bring someone back for nearly half the summer. I was about to give up on it and dream something else up. Turn around. I'm near the trees, in the shade.
She turned and saw a strange girl, approximately her own age, sitting on a blanket in the shadow of an odd tree with large, green, spidery fronds.
That's curious,
she thought.
Why didn't I notice the tree or the green field before?
But Abia was happy to see another person. Sensing her concern, the girl added,
Don't worry. I'm here because you were looking for me, and I was looking for you. And now we've found each other. I'm Nyla. My parents are forcing me to stay with them while they work. They're researchers, you know, and they've got so much to do that I have to amuse myself. So I've been imagining meeting someone new, like you. And look, it finally worked. You're here.
Abiel hadn't heard about any new researchers coming to work at the station. But this was the news she had dreamed of, and with a lightened heart went over to meet Nyla. For once, the afternoon passed quickly. On Abiel's way home, the sky began to dress itself in its evening colors. Had she looked up, she might have noticed the dark scar that was beginning to work its way across the familiar face of Shara. Abiel and Nyla had agreed to meet the next day, and Abiel was eager to tell her father about her new friend, but when she arrived at their adobe shelter, it was empty. A note, hurriedly taped to the door, announced that an unusual disturbance in Shara's corona had kept her father at the observatory. Disappointed, Abiel spent the evening alone. The shelter's kitchen bot made her dinner, and later, her father sent over one of the younger researchers to tuck her into bed. Angry and disappointed, Abiel decided to keep Nyla and the odd field a secret, then fell asleep in anticipation of a new day. Shara rose, painting the sky with wispy streaks of pink and ochre, brushed between the horizon and the light green of a new morning. Its first rays reached through the cracks of the ancient vinyl window blinds and caressed Abiel's face with Shara's warm touch. Annoyed at first, she rolled over, then remembering, she sprang out of bed. Her father didn't have to push her outside that day, or any day after that. Abiel simply left before he finished reading his morning report. Distracted by the new patterns in their data, he didn't even notice Abiel's newfound enthusiasm.
Wow, my parents sound just like your father, you know, always too busy with their work to think about what I'm supposed to do. But they insist I need to stay with them,
Nyla confided.
I just keep out of their way. They don't know and don't seem to care where I go, so I started sneaking out and coming here.
She swept her arm around, indicating the small green field.
To here, my place. I created it, you know. I was so bored and lonely that I dreamed it up and brought it here.
Abiel didn't entirely understand. She was too shy to ask and didn't really care if her friend had some odd ideas. After all, she thought, who wouldn't after being alone for so long? She liked Nyla, although she had never seen anyone like her, with olive skin, short cropped black hair, and almond-shaped eyes. But they had a lot in common. All that mattered was that Nyla, like her, was marooned for the summer with her parents, and they had managed to find each other. Days began to pass again. Time moved forward quickly, almost too quickly for Abiel. One night, a few weeks later, Abiel's father looked grim. "It's getting worse, Abiel, and we don't know why."
"What?"
she asked.
"What's getting worse?"
"The storms in Shara. Haven't you noticed the spots or the changes to the weather?" Abiel had to admit she hadn't. Each day had seemed the same in Nyla's shimmering field. Perfect days of fun on the mat of strange green plants under the pretty blue sky.
"I've got to be at the observatory tomorrow morning before you wake to take some important readings."
He paused, thinking carefully about what he wanted to say next.
"Listen, Abiel, it's great that you've been going out, but tomorrow I need you to stay close to the shelter, and you have to be back by lunch. No later."
His brow was furrowed so much with unspoken concern that Abiel could not help but agree.
"Don't worry, Dad. I'll be back."
The next morning, Abiel pushed her way through the glittering wall of air and found Nyla in a distracted mood. Before she could say anything about her father, Nyla blurted out,
"I'm so sorry, Abiel. I really am. But I have to go. I don't have a choice." "That's okay. My father wants me back by noon. It's the sunstorms, isn't it? Your parents are worried about them, too. I'm sure they'll pass. My father says Shara always settles down. We can get together tomorrow." "No, we can't."
Nyla almost shouted, then started to cry.
"You don't understand. I can't come back. Ever." "Why?"
Abiel timidly inquired.
"It's not the end of the summer. My dad says the new storms are making more work for them than ever. Your parents must be busy too. They can't be leaving so early."
Abiel's eyes met Nyla's, pleading for an explanation.
"Oh, I wish I could make you understand, Abiel. It's not about my parents leaving. It's about their research and some things I shouldn't have been doing in their lab. Abiel, they found out that I've been coming here. It's hard to explain because I'm not allowed to tell you very much. But I can't come back after today. My parents told me my visits and my field are causing. I feel so bad, but that's all I can say. Look, we still have the rest of the day. Let's have fun and make it the best time we've ever had."
Abiel was disappointed and wanted to protest, but there was something about Nyla that calmed her distress. So they played until the yellow sun over the small green meadow started to edge its way down the azure sky. Then she remembered.
"Oh no, noon."
That had been hours ago. Promising to come back right after she met her father, Abiel jumped up and laughed. As she passed through the curtain of mist, Nyla and her emerald field evaporated into the churning skies of Miranda. An angry Shara spotted with great turbulent storms hung sullenly above. Dust peppered the sky, whipped up by furious gusts of wind. One tried to pick Abiel up and toss her into the bristling cactus, but before it could, something caught her arm, pushing her down.
"Where were you?"
her father yelled, annoyed but relieved to find her.
"I told you to be back by noon. We've been looking for hours. Thank goodness we found you. Abiel, we've got to leave. The storms are too strong. The shuttle will be here soon."
"I'm sorry, I forgot. I was playing with my friend Nyla over in the green field with the odd plants behind the trees."
She tried to explain. Her father looked confused.
"What green field? We checked behind the cactus and even sent a bot through the thicket to see if you were stuck in there."
Abiel turned and saw that the shimmering wall and plastic green circle behind was gone, along with Nyla. By the time the shuttle had arrived, Shara had lost its rage and had started to calm down. Many of the observatory's staff volunteered to stay behind to investigate the strange phenomena, Abiel's father among them. But he had insisted that she go to Ymir, where she'd be safe with friends until they understood more and could be sure that Shara would not act up again. Abiel, happy to be leaving, feigned resistance, hugged her father and walked up the short metal ramp to the hatch of the sleek waiting vehicle. She paused at the entrance for a moment. Summer hadn't been that bad after all, she thought. She had made a new friend, although she wasn't sure if she would see her again. Then she understood and smiled. Nyla's visits had given her something else. Her dream to go to Ymir. Abiel looked up at the young evening sky, where the first stars had started to rise, and hoped Nyla was on her way someplace she wanted to be as well.
Thanks for listening to episode 24, The Shimmering Field. If you like the series, please tell your friends about us, or drop us an email at makeshiftstories@gmail.com, or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. And when you're there, click on Contributing to the Story if you'd like to add an idea for a future episode. The opening and closing music for Somewhere, Sometime, A Glimpse of Happiness, is PodSafe Music from premiumbeat.com. Makeshift Stories is released under Creative Commons Attribution No Derivative License, which means you're free to pass around our episodes, but please remember to credit us.